Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So Kofi Annan has stepped down as UN Special Envoy to Syria. He called the situation hopeless. And while the UN calls an emergency meeting, the violence in Aleppo continues. Government fighter jets have struck neighborhoods in the northern and western parts of the city. And Syrian state TV says the government has eliminated scores of, quote, terrorists and mercenaries. Meanwhile, rebel forces have dug in with heavy weaponry of their own. But the people of Aleppo, for them, the choice is stark. Either pack up and leave or find some shelter inside their homes as food becomes harder and harder to find. We welcome back Safa Sankari, a Syrian-American whose family is currently residing in Aleppo. And my first question, Safa, is your family safe?
Hi, Celeste. Actually, since Wednesday, there was a total internet and phone disconnect for the city. So I haven't been able to talk to them since then. I actually tried calling them right before the show this morning to see if I could talk to anyone, and I couldn't reach anyone. So I'm praying and we're hoping that everything is okay, but the situation is getting really dire there.
Are as you watch some of these reports and they're talking about the attacks in some of these neighborhoods, are they getting close to where your family members are?
It actually is. It's getting close. The districts are fairly close to each other. So it is. So there is concern. And again, we just hope for the best.
Help us to understand what kind of city Aleppo is, how significant this city is, and why it's worth so much to both sides.
Yeah, absolutely. Aleppo is actually the largest city in Syria. It's the commercial hub. All the major businesses are there. So it is crucial for both sides. And especially the regime knows that if Aleppo falls, basically then that's their demise. So both know it's a critical point for both sides.
But tell me a little bit about the politics of Aleppo. It's a commercial hub, obviously. It's a large city by square mileage, at least. But, I mean, is this a rebel stronghold in terms of sentiment? Are they with Bashar Assad or against him? Maybe they're divided?
I think at the beginning, people were just, you know, they wanted to have calm and stay safe. And so a lot of people were kind of not with the regime and not against. They just wanted to live peacefully in the city. Now that the government has, you know, had, you know, as you had said earlier, attacking the city from warplanes, they realize now that the government is just hitting indiscriminately. And so I think now people are more with the Free Syrian Army because they realize that, first of all, the Assad regime is slowly but surely losing ground. And second of all, the regime is not discriminating between the Free Syrian Army or civilians.
You know, we've also been getting reports that it's, as I mentioned, becoming more difficult to get clean water, more difficult to get food. Before you lost touch with your family, were they telling you about the conditions in Aleppo?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they were saying they were going to the supermarkets and the shelves were getting bare. And there's a lot of people who left the two main districts where there was a lot of fighting. They were living in schools and mosques, and they were trying to help these people. They were trying to, you know, buy them food. And they said, we went to buy them food, and there is no food to buy them.
We've also gotten reports that there's heavy, heavy violence reported on 15th Street. Does that mean something to you?
It's not near my family's district, but I'm sure it's near the other districts where there's heavy fighting.
But why 15th Street? Are there any particular strategic places? Are we talking about a banking hub? Anything that is particularly of importance for the government to recapture?
I think all of Aleppo is important. It's like you said, it's a large, sprawling city. The main district, though, the old city, that's kind of the symbol of Aleppo, the old city, and they're working their way out. So all of it is important. I think the Free Syrian Army is trying to take hold of the center of the city and work its way out.
That's Safa Sankari, Syrian-American, whose family is currently residing in Aleppo. Safa, I hope you hear from him soon.
Thank you.
As we've discussed, the fighting is intensifying in Syria, and there's a growing humanitarian crisis as well. Thousands fleeing in neighboring countries. Lise Doucette reports for our partner, the BBC, as many as 2,000 a day are seeking shelter in Jordan.
They call this the King Abdullah Park, but it's not really the kind of park you'd imagine. It's now full of containers with the blue stickers of the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. It also has long canvas tents some protection against the scorching sun. And everywhere you look, there are Syrian families. So many children, women, many of them in long black cloaks and wearing headscarves, and a lot of young men. And all of them have a story to tell. This angry woman insisted on telling me her story as she broke down in tears. We left our homes, we've left our livelihoods. Why is nobody doing anything? Please stop him, she said repeatedly, referring to President Assad. And now there's the stress of living in a camp set up for 800 people, but 8,000 have come here.
Just listen to that, my, 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 she shouts, water, water. And they're distributing, they're throwing bottles of water, slabs of ice into this crowd of men, women and children. It's not long now before they break their fast in the month of Ramadan. They're all coming for water.
But as numbers grow, the government has changed its policy. Now refugees are being moved to a tented city, the first official UN refugee camp in Za'atari in the desert. For most Syrians, that's even worse than this center.
It's not a good place to stay, but we have to stay here.
Ahmed is an English student.
Food is somehow good, but the water is so hot. It's not clean enough.
The government is moving people to Za'atari, which where there's tents, new tented camp.
Nobody wants to move there.
What if they say to you, you have to go?
We will not go.
Another transit center has already been closed.
They're locking up some of the containers here. This used to be one of the main transit camps, as they're known here, where hundreds, thousands at points of Syrians crossed the border illegally in the dark of night and then found a refuge here. And now the place is being shut down. Scattered across the ground are foam mattresses, blankets, pillows strewn across the sand. Families, it seems, who left in a hurry, being told they had to find another place to stay. Now Jordan's response to this humanitarian crisis, a deepening crisis, is changing, and they want to have more control over who comes in, where they stay, and for how long.
As the BBC's chief international correspondent Lise Doucette, reporting from Jordan.